there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, good morning, Leanne. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here to share the good news of Rowan County with you.
You guys had a fiscal court meeting this week, and we want to talk a little bit about the business of the community. You guys had a lot of things on your agenda, so we're going to try to roll through those pretty quickly. First up, we talk a little bit about some recreation in the region. Laughlin Recreation Building Report came from Matt Hamilton with the city. He's in charge of Parks and Recreation, but came by to let you guys know what's happening over there.
Matt couldn't make it, but he sent us a report, and it was a very good report, Leanne. It's really getting utilized. We've got about 40 to 50 people signing in every day, utilizing the facility in some way, shape, form, or fashion. The room rental's going out very well for Zumba, dance, some other activities. It's open for a lot of folks to just go walk and enjoy it. Basketball kids are coming in playing basketball. It's doing exactly what we thought it would do, and we're very pleased with the way it's going, and the partnership between the county and the city on that is definitely paying off.
It's nice to see. I was in there last week, I think, and it was a little full. I was surprised with how many people who were playing basketball. I was like, is this an event? No, these are just people who were hanging out.
It is, and wait till winter comes.
Yeah, I'm sure. When nobody wants to be outside, they'll be in there, and that'll be great. But you guys also had a visit from the tourism director. Joy Brown gave you guys a report, and you guys had a lot to talk about tourism at this meeting.
We did. She had an annual report, and we actually got the sneak preview of it before she actually presented it to Tourism Commission, but it happened to work out. We were fiscal court at that time. So, you know, of course, Joy Brown, she is the face of tourism in Rowan County, and she's very respected across the state. But she came in and gave us a report. And it's, you know, for folks that don't realize tourism and one of the reasons we wanted to partner with the city and increase our tourism funds, you know, it's here in this document that in Rowan County alone, and we'll talk mostly about Rowan County, but 393 jobs in Rowan County associated with tourism. Mm-hmm. And the labor income is $8.5 million strictly in Rowan County. And in state and local taxes, it generates $3.48 million. But I think what's really, really interesting to find in this report is if you didn't have tourism, each household would have to increase $467 more annually in order to make up the difference in what this is producing in tax revenue. Mm-hmm. So it's a benefit to everybody that tourism works well, and we need to promote it and bring more in. There's, I think it was 71.8 million visitors in Kentucky. Now we're talking the state,
right,
across the state, 71.8 million people with a huge impact of $2.94 billion in labor income in the state of Kentucky. So tourism is very alive and well in the state of Kentucky, and we're very fortunate to have Joy Brown out in front of us pushing what we have here in Rowan County to offer, because we have a lot to offer in Rowan County.
Yeah, there is constantly. I recently spoke with someone who writes hiking guides and travel guides, and they were talking about the wealth of trail systems and the lake and all the wonderful things that we have here that some people who even live here don't even realize how wonderful of a resource it is. And we're bringing in all these people from outside. And recently I was downtown. I mean, this was a few months ago. I was downtown and I was like, where are all these people coming from? And there was a trail race that I didn't know about. And it was right here, and all these people from outside of town had come into town just specifically for that race. I think that it's wild to see how many people come in for little things that I take for granted every day.
Yeah. And, you know, Joy doesn't do it all by herself. She's got some good guidance with the tourism board that supports her endeavors and gives her some ideals, but they support her. And, you know, it all takes a big team, but it pays off, and this is just an example of how it will increase with county and city, and actually the county being a part of tourism now to step up. It'll just continue to grow, and we'll see the benefits across the county from it.
Well, that was one of the next things that I wanted to talk about. You guys had on the agenda to do a second reading for a county tourism, which would be separate from the city tourism, but you guys decided not to continue with that ordinance and instead enter do an interlocal agreement with the city of Moorhead. You guys have decided to go together on this one.
Yes, and Leanne, the first reading we had was right before the city had actually officially agreed to allow a joint merger between the city and county tourism. So we really just moved forward as if we were going on the county along, and all the time we were pretty sure that the city would go with us, but we had to take the first step.
Right.
So we talked about the first step. So that step was taken on the first reading, and then between the first reading and this second reading came up, we came to terms with the city, and we're going to do it jointly. So we allowed the second reading to die off without any action, but we picked up the resolution, which provides the avenue now to have a joint tourism. And there's other hoops to jump through. We'll have to go through DLG. They have to approve all any kind of interlocal agreements. They'll approve it, and then we'll come back, and then we'll write the ordinance how we're actually going to do the finer points on how we collect it and how we where we put it and how it's spent and devise the board and do all these things. So, yeah, we're moving right along just as anticipated with this.
I feel like a lot of people who have to do with things that happen outside the city, like the stuff that happens at the lake and things that happen on the trails and some of the recreation type attractions that we have in our county are really excited about this and how this will change their specific events, I think.
It will, and you know, the hotel owners were and the Airbnb and the cabin rentals, really this is a benefit to them. You know, they will be collecting the tax, but if we can promote the tourism, instead of having 60 folks in 60% capacity or occupancy in these rooms, we'll have 100%. So it's win for everybody. You know, everybody's going to gain from this.
Right. Moving on along in your all's agenda from the meeting, you guys discussed a little bit more about the emergency management of the county. Jimmy Hampton was in to talk about your smart 911 E911 system.
Yeah, Jimmy came in and gave us a report, and it was a very detailed report, which we expected nothing less. Jimmy's a very professional individual, and he is very detail-oriented. We had initially rolled out our new smart 911 in May, and we had a few hiccups with it as far as alerting everyone, but we have got those problems ironed out, and it's just nothing different than anything you do when you change something. You've got some wrinkles you have to iron out. So he's worked on those, and we have. I would like to say, if you were initially enrolled into Smart 911, I'd ask you to go back into Smart 911, your account, and look at it and click on it'll pop up to say if you want to be a part of Brown County's emergency service alert. Please click on that, and then it's your choice at that point whether you follow the yellow brick road through and give them more information, like how many pets you have in your home and, you know, all kinds of other questions that would be beneficial to emergency services. But just go back in and click on it and accept the click the block for the Round County, and you'll get all the alerts. And we also got tied to the federal government. He worked on that. We are now certified as IPAWS. Don't ask me what all that means, sounds, or says, or the acronyms, but it's a service that through the National Weather Service now we can push that to your phone, whether it's whether you want it or not. Essentially, if it's right. A tornado's coming, it's going to blow your house down, we're going to be able to tell you, and you may not like it, but we're going to tell you anyway.
Now, if I want to sign up for the if I want to give my information and sign up for the service, where can I go online to do that?
You can go to Round County. If you go to the Round County Fiscal Court webpage, we have a link to it. And I'm sure if you'll pull up Round County Emergency Management, they too have a link to it. And we will, as soon as we figure out how we can do this and explain it, we'll put it out on Facebook as well so people can understand it. That sometimes is the hard part, is trying to get it out. As you know, it's hard to get it out where everybody understands it and don't confuse people.
Yeah, let me know if you need help on that. I'm all about synthesizing the complicated down to something simple. And speaking of things that are coming up that we need to let people know about, you guys had a United States Consensus 2020 proclamation that you guys discussed that's coming up next year.
We did. We had a visitor. Of course, you know, we do the federal census every 10 years, mm-hmm. and that is really very important to us, important to every citizen that we do this correctly. That is where all the federal funding comes from. That is where the state decides on some of their funding. It's all based on population. Everything's based on population. There is a lot at stake if you don't get your numbers right. You can lose your all of your senator districts, representative districts, congressmen. All of those districts are based on population. So what we want to make sure that we do is we get the right count of everyone in our county so that we can get our fair share of the taxpayer dollars that we're all paying in. We just like to send it up there, but we'd like to get it back if we can. So,
right.
but that's what it's all about. And we had Michelle Vance came in. She's the point person, if you will, for this area. And she came in. We did a proclamation, and we're trying to start publicizing this. And there's a lot of jobs involved in this if folks want to work. There's some jobs from $13 an hour up to $20-some dollars an hour. And that's not necessarily knocking on doors either. This is stuff you could sit in the office and do and possibly do at home on a computer. So, you know, they need help. And if you so inclined would like to do that, please do. Just contact them and go to the – you can go to the website, and it'll be easy to find.
Right. Now you guys also got a committee together for the – for this census stuff to get ready, appointed some people. What are they going to be doing?
We did, and that's they call that the Complete Count Committee, and they're really going to steer the census in Round County. And what we try to do is pick folks from different areas and different backgrounds. So, for example, we have people from MSU. I think Jamie Hornbuckle is going to be on that side. And so it's very important that we count the students. It's very important that we count everyone possible. The biggest loss in count is, for some reason, is children 5 years and younger. And those are the ones that are missing on the count. So we have reached out to Gateway Head Start, and they are going to give us a person on that committee. We have a person from Round County Board of Education that will be with us, Health Department. We have people from the Sheriff's Department, from Jimmy Hampton, from Emergency Management. We've got a host of folks on there. There's about 12 people. Our County Treasurer, Michelle Jesse's on. But there's several people on there, and we hope to be able – those folks will have the ability to steer the direction and monitor the direction of what we're doing so we can make sure we get a complete count.
Very cool. That's a very important part of what's coming up in the next year, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up a little sooner as soon as we come back. We're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected. WMKY is live online at WMKY.org. Local, state, national news and archive programs, including Health Matters, Open Mic, Mountain Edition, and The Reader's Notebook. Tell your smart speaker to play Morehead State Public Radio. Download our phone app and follow us on Facebook. Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected to your community. WMKY's live web stream is online at WMKY.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for being here. We're talking a little bit about the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this month, and we had several different things that were on the agenda. You guys got a grant that's going to change the look of the downtown farmers market, or more than one farmers market?
We did. I applied for a grant when I first took the seat, and, you know, government moves in slow ways, and so we sent it off, and it was approved. We got that grant approved for $36,000. It's a 50-50 match, so we'll have to come up with 18, but the farmers market has some money. Mm-hmm. We are asking if the county does some of the blacktop, can we count that towards our in-kind, if you will, match? And I've asked that question to the folks down in Frankfort, and they're going to give me an answer here, I think, next week. But we're going to put concrete underneath it, and we're going to blacktop around the outside of it to make it more just make it more friendly and more usable. But the real thing is for handicapped folks and older folks and senior people that's really what we're really trying to do it for. You know, you and I can probably get through it maybe, but some other folks can't. So we're just trying to make it where it is accessible to everyone. And so it's good money, and it's good grant money.
Yeah, sometimes that's I fell last week on Main Street on flat ground, so sometimes I can't say anything about getting around on gravel.
Now, Leanne, we've told you to keep your shoes tied.
It was a rushing kind of morning, but I mean, it does happen sometimes. It's always nice to make sure that we have safe and accessible places to go, and I enjoy the farmer's market. There's nothing like homegrown tomato. So
nothing like it.
I appreciate that is happening. Do we have any idea when the work on that will start?
Well, I want it done before winter. So we're hoping, we're waiting on some bids. We had some initial bids, but we're coming back now and putting the final touches on those. So we're hoping certainly have it done by the end of the fall. We'll have it done.
Well, since we talked a little bit about fresh vegetables, let's go to the other end of the spectrum and talk about the garbage. Because Advanced Disposal came in for a request from you guys, and we're not sure where we are on that one. What's happening there?
Well, it's Advanced Disposal. They have the ability to go to 1,200 tons a day, and they have been very nice and generous to us. I guess you could say that they have been. It's been around 200 ton a day. That's what they've been collecting. They don't have to have any approval from fiscal court to increase that. But if they want to increase it, they're going to have to reach out to some surrounding areas to increase that garbage. And they wanted to ask us before they did it. Well, we really didn't tell them they could, and we really didn't tell them that they couldn't, since we don't have any authority in that area. That is all belongs to the state. That's mm-hmm. their authority. But what I thought it was very nice of them to come to reach out to us and explain to us that if they don't increase their tonnage, then in the future it's very possible that they may have to increase their rates because they have to meet their revenue requirements. Mm-hmm. So what we don't want is to increase the rates to the citizens and then just generate more garbage on the side of the road. Since I've took over, we have picked up over 5,000 bags of trash off the side of the road, and we're constantly cleaning up dumps. That's not counting the dumps at sites that we clean up from mattresses and stuff that's been dumped. We are prosecuting those folks. We did catch some. We are going to prosecute them, and that's been my direction. If you can catch them, we're not going to tell them and give them a warning. We're going to prosecute them. And right. if we can find them, we'll find them. But we're serious about this. We want our county to look good. We're spending a lot of money in this county to make it look good, and we want to keep it that way.
Right, absolutely. Now, you guys also talked a little bit about the local participation agreement for the TIF district. The tax increment financing district that was created for some growth, I guess we can call it, downtown. There's been a whole lot of talk about a hotel downtown, which we don't currently have, and the hotels are outside of town, and they're talking about building one next to the conference center here in town. But what did you guys do to discuss with these agreements?
Well, if you can remember back a couple of sessions ago, we had let everybody know that we had hired an outside attorney, Mr. Jim Parsons, who specializes in TIF districts. Mm-hmm. And so he's come in, and we were at the point where we needed someone that had dealt with it before to work with us, between us and the developer. And he's done a great job. And it was kind of crossing some T's, dotting some I's on the contract or the ordinance, if you will. But they decided some time ago that they wanted to connect the hotel with the conference center with a walkway,
right.
covered walkway. So they wanted, there's a couple things in this ordinance. They wanted to add the walkway and put that under development into upgrade, which could be come out of the TIF district. Infrastructure is what the word I was trying to find here.
Right.
It, make it part of the infrastructure, which the fiscal court would be okay with that. The other thing they wanted to do is they wanted to extend the TIF agreement from 20 years to 30 years. And so the TIF had proposed that, changed that ordinance. So we really didn't take any action on those. Those died because we didn't have any interest in going from 20 to 30 years. So they'll bring those back to us next fiscal court with the 20 years as we had initially agreed, and we'll probably approve them and move on in that direction. But the TIF district's alive and well. We're working very hard. The developer's getting close. So I think it'll be happening. We'll get some news here on some hotels here very soon, I hope.
Fingers crossed. I know a lot of us who've been watching downtown to watch that come in are excited about the possibility. The renderings are really beautiful, and it's very exciting. I wanted to talk about a little, get a little bit of an update on some of the new businesses that are coming into the county. We've got, I saw a post on social media that there's steel coming in to build App Harvest. They're bringing in actual building materials. We are past the earth moving stage. So tell me what's happening out there. Let's start with App Harvest, and then I also want to talk about the cooperage out there.
Okay. App Harvest, I think, has about 400 tons of building material on its way. They still are doing dirt work. They were just getting this stuff because it's coming in on shipping containers. They have, I think, a projection of being done with the dirt work about November. I've talked to the contractors there that are doing the work, and along with App Harvest. They've been great partners at this point at keeping us really informed of what they're doing, what their plans are. So I think they're going to be a great community fit. They're going to have, approximately 280 jobs that's going to be associated with that. But they're moving right along, marching right along, and we believe that we'll be getting fresh tomatoes and cucumbers out of there, hopefully. I would predict probably the end of summer next year. Mm-hmm. I think they may have a little earlier sights than that, and I hope they do. But I think eventually we're going to start getting some rain and bad weather,
I think they're
on schedule.
We are all beholden to the weather patterns when it comes to construction.
Yeah, we are.
And then right across the street from there, we've got the cooperage that's under construction. Do you have any updates on that?
It's definitely, they're doing a lot of work. They're not slowing down on it at all. I think their time frame will be somewhat later. It'll probably be, up to a year, 18 months probably before they're ready. And they're going to bring a lot of jobs to the table with them. Over 200 jobs will come with those folks. So we have promised them that we can provide the workforce for them. So there's money available because we are a distressed county now. So mm-hmm. there's money available for training and some other things, some grant money that we're going to apply for. And Jason Sloan, whose background is in workforce development, we've been reaching out to some of the businesses here. And what we would like to do is create something unique that no other county has attempted essentially on their own. We know Frankfort will do their part, but they are, they're looking at the broader picture of workforce development across the state. So we'd like to tailor it more for Round County and this area. So I'm going to be reaching out to the other counties here, and we're going to probably try our best to get a grant to where we can have now me being military, I like to call it a boot camp, but I think Jason has a better term for it. I think he says it's soft skills.
Right.
But what we'd like to do is give people an opportunity to be able to complete a course, and we don't know what it looks like or even if we'll get it approved. But when they get through it, they'll have a certificate, and we want those businesses that's coming in to honor those certificates at least to the table where they can get an interview. Give them an opportunity. Even if they have a background, that seems to be a real big problem with people that are, has had abuse problems. They can't get a job, so you might as well sit on a couch and you can't go to work. So I think these people are really going to be good partners on that. And we're going to try to develop something. And if you complete the course, you get a certificate, you at least get to go to the table and you get to sell an opportunity to sell yourself. And we really need that not only for Round County but for the region. Because mm-hmm. if we don't do well in filling these jobs, it's going to hurt not only this region but it'll hurt this state. Because people want to locate now to Kentucky because we say we have the workforce, and we certainly don't want to disappoint.
Right, absolutely. Now we had talked, you and I had talked briefly also about a asphalt plant that may be coming to the region as well?
We did talk about an asphalt plant. I spoke to the gentleman here probably about 3 weeks ago. They really don't have any other updates other than they have purchased the property, and they are looking at mm-hmm. The best type of blacktop plant to put in and the location and all that stuff on the property. It's a pretty good sized piece of property, about 120 acres, I believe. So they're still looking, and we're hoping that they'll any business brings 20 jobs or 30 jobs, we certainly want that to happen.
Absolutely. Well, it's always good to see growth in the community, and I appreciate you coming in and chit-chatting with me about what's happening. That's all the time we have for the show today. Judge Executive of Round County, Harry Clark, thanks again for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Leanne. And one little plug for Dr. Charlie Derrickson. We're going to have on our chamber luncheon on September the 5th. We're just going to have appreciation for Dr. Charlie Derrickson. He's been a big part of this community, this county, this university. And so we're just going to say thank you, Charlie.
Wonderful. Well, we'll try to make sure people know that that's happening. And for all of our listeners, we'll see you next Friday.